Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been looking in the last couple of weeks about sicknesses, disease, and evil spirits and demons and so forth. And we looked at the origin of evil spirits and demons, where they came from. And we saw, according to the book of Enoch, the book of Jubilees and so forth, that the teachings that we have been receiving from the church, the mainstream church, is absolutely erroneous, lies straight from the devil. The Bible says he's the father of them all. It tells us that most of the churches will teach today that demons are fallen angels. And we saw from looking at other data that that is not true. And so once we know that, okay, we have that knowledge, then we have to recognize that they are present today. We know that there's not there's a third of them that were given permission to remain on the earth, and most of them are in storage, if you will. And so we've been looking at their origin from these other sources, but what we wanted to do is circle back to now Jesus, because he is the centerpiece when he came here on the planet Earth. They were looking for him, as well as wanting to make sure that they dispatched him, but they didn't understand the plan that God had put together. The plan was that, according to the Bible, that Jesus would die for the remission of sins. So the plan was that he would die. Now, the enemy did not know this. Lucifer and all of the fallen angels, the Nephilim spirits, the evil spirits, none of them knew the plan of God. Because had they understood the plan of God, I'm sure they would have done everything within their power to make sure that Jesus Christ stayed alive even today, that they would not want him dead. But the plan of the Father and the Lord Jesus, because the Bible tells us that this plan was hatched before the foundation of the earth, because it tells us that Jesus Christ had died before the foundation of the earth. So in God and in Jesus, at that, before they stepped into time, they were seeing everything in the sense of a global understanding. But they created time to allow us to come into the picture. And that time came in when the scripture says God created the heavens and the earth. And so once he did that, time began to become an existing piece outside of him. It's eternity. And so that's when time was instituted for us. And when it came into being, it tells us that God works within that time frame. He does everything within the fullness of time. And it says, when he does something, all things that he does in time is beautiful, all of these things. And so the disconnect that we have as children of God is that we are put in this pressure pot where we need all of that stuff to be now. And God sees much further out and know all the little nuances that we are not available to. And so he takes some time. But one of those things that we have to do while we're in that process is, as Jesus stated, have faith in God. And that's the whole thing. And the Bible tells us also that the plan was that we would move from faith to faith. So you have one faith project, you finish that, you move to another. And as you get to know who God is as one that is capable of doing and providing for you through all of these faith projects, you will then have a closer relationship with him, knowing that he is well and able, for the scripture says that with God, nothing is impossible. And so you are going to get a glimpse of that through your relationship from faith to faith. And you will see on a personal level then that nothing is impossible with God. And then you'll be able to stand strong in your confession as you're walking in your relationship with God. So we are looking again with the entrance of Jesus Christ to see what he does. When, as we continue our journey, we will see things like in the book of Deuteronomy, God warns the people, Exodus, he actually started talking to his people, and he was telling them about their behavior. Remember, they came into this Egypt that lots of mysticism and magic and all that stuff was prevalent there. Remember, those guys were able to throw a stick on the ground, and Moses, they became snakes. And in some cultures, they believe that those were crocodiles from other studies, because of the Nile and all the different things. But anyway, Moses also was capable of doing that. And we see that mysticism is still there, and I believe it is still here on this planet Earth. I don't think it disappeared. The knowledge might be in some secret organization, but they have that knowledge there because there is a book, several books that were written with all of that information. Anyway, so we know that in Deuteronomy, I'll take a brief case in Deuteronomy 32:16-17, then it says that they stirred him to jealousy with strange God, meaning the children of Israel stirred God to jealousy with strange God. With abomination, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed the demons that were no gods to gods that they had never known, to new gods that they had come recently, whom your fathers had never dread. So these guys, as the children of Israel moving closer to our time, they started incorporating other gods that we know that the children of Israel dealt with Baal. We know that all these other, Azazel, we know all these guys, the Anunnakis we talked about, they were those gods of that time. And, you know, people get all bent out of shape because if you look at the word through modern day teaching of Christianity, they are telling you that the world is only 6,000 or 2,000 years old, some kind of crazy number like that. Absolutely stupid, folks. The data shows differently. The data shows that this is billions of years old. And at the time of the Anunnakis, which we talked about, that's when the angels were roaming here, they had information, and that's why they were able to pass all the knowledge to their children and their children's children and so forth. And you have structures that are built today that we cannot replicate because we don't have the knowledge, the insight and understanding. And so we stand today in amazement of what they had accomplished and the movement of all of those giant pillars and stones and stuff like that, because we had big guys at that time and women. There were women giants as well. When you look into Goliath's family, his brother was a giant, his family, his mother, and all those things like that. We know that Og was one of them. Gilgamesh was one of them. Gilgamesh is mentioned in several other sources outside of the Bible. So we know that all of these guys were there, okay? And after these, they died. They had that civil war that we talked about. Then the 200 came and made additional and so forth. And so today, when Jesus Christ shows up, remember the in Genesis chapter 3, I believe when God was the first one that promised that Jesus was coming, he announced to all of them that was associated within the fall that there is someone coming. Because we know that the serpent came, he deceives man. And this is where, let's talk about this for a second so you can have an understanding of what went on. And then you'll see the purpose of Jesus Christ's life. Okay? Let's take a look at the fall of man according to the teachings of Christianity. And I believe that this is the teaching of man. We label it Christianity, but God didn't label this Christianity. This is the truth. This is the truth for every man on this planet Earth. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals, and Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree, any garden tree? His approach, the enemy, in order for him to sow doubt inside of you, the only way that he can approach you is through your thoughts, that thought field that is became corrupted after this fall. So that thought field is corrupted. It has data in there. And so he asks questions to activate the data that you have within you. And I read to you that scripture that talks about we were translated from the kingdom of darkness. This is how the kingdom of darkness began in Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God said you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. That touching piece, Adam added that to her. When God said to him, he said, you shall not touch it. I mean, you shall not eat it. When he bring that information and he related to his wife, he added that little touch where he said, don't even touch it or you will die. Now it says, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman. Now you have to remember that the serpent was, he was used by Lucifer. And it's very interesting how this animal, serpent, was able to talk to Eve, and not Eve didn't panic and lose her mind. So I believe that the original state of mankind was that he was able to communicate with everything because he was the God of this universe. And so as the God of this universe, he can speak to, and he understood all the languages of all the beings and everything on the planet. So he comes and he says to this woman, that's not going to happen. You're not going to die. And the day that you eat, this is going to be, your eyes are going to be open, all that stuff. You know good and evil. Maybe the knowledge of good and evil was not afforded to us at that time. I believe we would eventually get there. But I've mentioned it in this conversation. There are several trees within that garden that he had opportunity to partake of. And the partaking of the trees, because these are powerful trees, would change one's state. And so if he had eaten from the tree of life, he would have locked in the state that he was created in. But God told him, God was trying to warn him and give him heads up, if you will. There's this one other tree in there, be careful about that. But as I said, we are kind of, you know, interesting beings. And so he didn't adhere to it because of the influence of his wife. And I tell you guys, one of the most powerful gift that is given to a woman is the ability to influence her family, her man, and so forth. You don't need to be yelling and cussing at him. You just learn to utilize one of the most powerful force that is within you. So the woman and the serpent, he got her to eat. And he says, you're not going to die. And when the woman saw, and we've talked about that, she began to walk in the natural realm. She saw the fruit of the tree, that it was good for pleasing to the eyes and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And their state changed. Everything about them changed. Their authority that they had as the God of this earth was changed because they sided with the enemy. So what? Let's look at that in its bare form. They had two words that they were given. One set by Lucifer, and another set of words were given to them, offered to man. Man choose to listen to the word of Lucifer over the word of God. Rebellion entered into man's state. Man's authority was taken. Fear began to enter, and all kinds of God, that the demon that runs and controls this is fearfulness. You will see it in the mention of it is the very first thing, as he said. She gave to her husband, and their eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked. Number one, shame began to, that's one of the most powerful feelings within the human being is shame. and they sewed fig leaf together and covered themselves. And you see here that they're looking at themselves, this shame, body shaming as well, because it entered in here and they began to cover it up themselves. And then it says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, who, where are you? And that, I've said that to you guys before. This is the main question that God has laid out to every mankind, every man and woman on this planet. Where are you? That is an individual call. It is not a church. It's an individual call, because he is interested in relationships. If you see, this is a relationship. It's not a church. And so he's asking them, where are you? And the beautiful thing about God, he kept the appointment. They did not. And he levels this question, and here is the answer. He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid. So the man answers God, and he says, there's a couple of things that has been changed. And as a result of these change, these states that are changed, I don't believe I have access to you. But that's not true. He says, the states that he changed, he says, who told you were naked and all this type of stuff? He says, let's take a look and see what were the man's excuse. He said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. So he heard, but I was afraid. I was naked. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat from? Now, I love God. He always goes straight to the root of the situation. But again, watch the craziness of us men, the human race. And this is a part of how we do things. So God is always calling on you and I to fess up, to become an individual, to take the lead, if you will, to be in control of our situation, our life. But look at how we always do. He says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, and I was naked, and so forth. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Straight to the root of the problem. Then the man said, this is the beginning of the shifting of responsibility. The woman you put with me, you put her here, that one, yeah, you know, and so he says, she gave me some of the fruit and of the tree, and I ate of it. So the fruit, I don't believe that this is an apple. And again, that's a Western civilization. There were no apples around there at that time. Most of it, they believe is fig, is a fig tree. But, and other stuff. But, you know, that's always open for discussion. If anyone out there have any suggestions, just let us know, man. We see that shifting of blame, and then God comes in. He says, the woman that you gave me, she's the one that gave it to me. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? There's another question that is posted to the women out there. What is this you have done? And you have to look into some of your family and stuff like that and be able to do, again, that power of influence where women have walked away from their assignment, as well as man has walked away from his assignment. And so we see that, you know, the woman now is going to shift after the man's shift. The woman said, the serpent is the one that deceived me and I ate. And so we see that shifting of responsibility to that question that was asked, you know, did you eat? Did you touch that tree that I told you not to touch? And we see from that question and statement, we see all of these different behaviors listed in the scripture. And now it says that the Lord God said to the serpent, so God is now going to talk to him, to Lucifer. Because you have done this, cursed are above all the livestock. So we see that the result of this snake allowing to be used, he, a curse fell on him. And anything that the enemy touches, there is a curse on him. I don't care what you do. Anything that he touches, he still kills and destroys. He can't do anything about it. That's his character, his personality, everything, but he can pretend to be light. He's an angel, he pretends to be, but he is not. And that's how most of his kids are. They pretend to be, but they are not. We have a bunch of people pretending to be Christians, but we know that they're not Christian nationalists. That is not. They're pretending, and they are far from the gospel. And so God begins to lay out some stuff that as a result of sin, this is what happens. He begins to lay it out. He says, cursed are you above all lifestyle and all life, wild animal. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And they have studied the skeleton of snakes, and they see that they have that feet in the back, and it's now hind feet and small and stuff like that. But it's there in science. They have proven that these creatures stood once before. So they went on their belly between, and he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, not the man, you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head, and you will strike at his feet. That is Jesus Christ. Now, God announced Jesus Christ. He says, he announced the plan, the entrance of the second plan, the backup plan, if you want to call it plan B, to regain what authority was stolen from Adam. How do we know that? When Jesus showed up, Lucifer comes and he's tempting him for 40 days and 40 nights, and he takes Jesus Christ all over the place, and he showed him, says, all this has been given to me. Where did he get it from? God didn't give it to him. God did not give Lucifer this planet to rule. God gave it to the man, and the man gave it to Lucifer through disobedience and obedience to God. To Lucifer, he chose Lucifer's words over God's, and that is life today. But what happened when that fall took place is a couple of things happened that what we call the curse. They talk about the woman, she will have pain in childbearing, so before that you weren't supposed to have that. It tells you also that your desire will be for your husband. That was not before. So a couple of things began to, and he will rule over you, and so forth. Verse 17, and Adam, he said, because you have listened to your wife and you ate the fruit from the tree which I command you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because you have, through painful toil, you will eat from food from it all the days of your life. So we know the ground, the earth now, there's a judgment on the earth as a result. So God is now explaining. He's just explaining to them what happened. I will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat of the plant of the field, but by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. And for thus you are, and thus you will return. And Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all living things. And the Lord God made garments. Listen to this one, because I'll come back to this at some point in time. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. And the Lord said, and God said, the man has now become like us, one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life, or eat and live forever. So God banished him from the garden. Why? Because there's this tree in there, and I mentioned that beforehand. That tree has the capability of locking in his state. And so God didn't want him to touch that tree to lock into his state of sinfulness, because God had a plan B. And so God kicked him out of the garden and put an angel to protect that garden and make sure that no man touched that tree because, of the power that is in that tree. And so it tells us that God drove him out, banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground and so forth. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the garden and the east of garden a cherubim with a flaming sword, pushing back and forth to guard the way for the tree of life. That tree is there. And because of his allegiance to the words of Lucifer, he lost his state and he began to become judge. Now, that garment that I said, the garment of God made, that garment shows up in the book of Enoch. It shows up in several other sources. The ones that we have been studying from time to time, I know Jubilees and Yasher is another source that talks about that same garment there. That garment was stolen by Cain, and it was given to his son. It was given to Cain, and Cain gave it to Nimrod. Nimrod put that on, and he became strong. That same garment there that God made, and he became a, the Bible says, a mighty man. He became like what those evil spirits were like in that day. So I believe that when that man put that on, I believe that he became possessed because he changed. As he changed, he began to behave differently and so forth. But that's just my opinion. And we talked about that the animals also, we see that demons and evil spirits are able to occupy them. We see it in the snake. We see it in the pigs and so forth. So today I wanted to begin the conversation as to how did Jesus really deal with this stuff? Because he is the one that we have to look at when he talks about, demons and stuff like that. He is the person that we're looking at to get how should we deal with them, because they're here. And I read to you the Genesis account as to when that instant took place, where that switching of power of authority was given to Lucifer. Adam surrendered it. He said, God said in the book of Psalms, I made you like God, but you will die as mere men. And that's what we are. And so I think the journey that you and I are going on to reconnect to God, and we reconnect through becoming born again. Why? Because that spirit of the man was damaged. Also, it was the soul of the man, the gift that God gave to each and every one of us, our soul, our own personal identity, that became corrupted. Our body became corrupted because he says, cursed is the ground. So our body is a part of the ground. So sicknesses and disease began to enter in to the life of mankind right there. And as we are looking at the account of Jesus Christ, by the time he shows up, that whole particular area is infested with demons and evil spirits. And I want to take you guys to Isaiah chapter 61. It's very important that we start there and take a look at that, because it's what Jesus comes and he tells us that he's going to do, his assignment. Remember, I told you guys that most of us, when we are born into this planet, they force you and I to go and find a job. They do not teach us about our assignment. What is our assignment that we are supposed to do while we are here? Because they're not connected. The kingdom of darkness is not connected to the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so one must have to translate into the other kingdom of God's dear Son so that you could truly find your assignment that you have been given from by God before the foundation of the earth, because the Bible tells us that he knew us before the foundation of the earth. So he was putting and giving us assignments so that we come here to finish the assignment, and so that when we come before him, which I told you guys, this is the last Jubilee starting in 25, so that when we stand before him, you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then, you come in and you get judged based on your words and your work that you've done. So let's take a look at Isaiah 61, and we are going to see Jesus' assignment, because it's very important when we look at his assignment and his actions along with his assignment. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he shuts the book. Now, let me give you a little phrase after that. And he never mentioned this. And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. That he did not say at all. And that is believed that if you read the rest of Isaiah 61, that is what the assignment of the church is supposed to be. Jesus did his part. And then we are to pick up from there. That's the assignment, to make disciples and go and do all kinds of work, that they shall build the old ways. We are supposed to go into systems that are broken. And you see these guys that are calling themselves, the defenders of Jesus Christ. They are forcing a belief on you. God is not forcing anything. He says, make disciples. He says, go and preach the gospel. We are to preach. And the Holy Spirit is responsible to pricking the heart of mankind to cause them to do what God's will is for their life. And so when you begin to see them forcing things on you, that is not of God. He doesn't force anything, because if he had forced anything, he would have forced Adam not to touch that tree. He would have even put it there and ripped it out of the ground. So God don't force you to do nothing. So these guys are not of God. So period. So we see that his assignment, okay, has a couple parts of it. He is anointed to preach the gospel, the good news unto the meek, those that are humble, and those that are ready for it, those who have ears, let them hear. He has sent to me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberties to the captive, very important, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Bound by who? These guys were bound by evil spirits. So Jesus' assignment is to come and handle all of them. And so they didn't know who he was. The devil found out in the desert after the 40 days and 40 nights of him testing Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ conquered him. He passed his test there. Adam failed his test in the garden. Jesus passed his test there. So he began the journey, if you will, to reclaim the authority that was lost by Adam. This was plan B. And Jesus makes a statement in Matthew chapter 28, 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. This is after his resurrection and all that good stuff. People will still doubt. That's how people are made, some of them. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to me. I am now the last Adam. I am now the boss of this world. It is no longer Lucifer. I am given the authority of it. And as I have received this authority over all of the principalities, all of the powers, all of the diseases, all of it. And then he looked at it and he says, therefore, because I've done this, you go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So that is Jesus' assignment. And so we are going to see that as we continue our study to look at it. And so I wanted to bring this thread so that you and I can understand what we're doing as we are now navigating to the other aspects of this teaching about demons, evil spirits, and so forth. And so we got the foundation as to who they were, who they are. We now are looking into how did Jesus responded to them? How did they respond to him when he was there, when he came on the scene? When Lucifer pinpointed who he was and kind of figured out, like, okay, this is the guy we got to keep our eyes on. But in their lack of understanding of the plan, they thought that, you know, if they kill him, that they would win the deal, you know. So, but they did not understand that the plan was for them to kill him, because as he is going through the process of dying and living and dying on the earth, he's actually, the Bible tells us, he was redeeming, paying the price for the requirements to make sure that that was a sealed deal. And the only way that that would have been sealed deal on the earth was through his death, his life, death, and resurrection. Everything had to be paid through the price of blood. We know that every aspect of it, when we saw them beating him on the back with the cat of nine tails, I think it's 49, they said 50 was going to kill the man, so they wanted the man up. So we know that that price of healing, the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. So the price was paid for healing, for divine health of an individual that can activate the law of faith in their life to get it. Because Jesus said, he turned to the woman, he says, your faith has made you whole. And I did a study on that, and I keep pointing you guys back to it. Our faith has the ability to make us whole, whether financially, whether it is in body, whatever, mentally, everything. Our faith has the capability, that law of faith that God used to create the universe. It is the same law that he is giving us access to it. And Jesus says, all things are possible to him who believe. All things are possible to him who activate the law of faith. But the most important thing in faith, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, you must have faith in God. So if you have no faith in God, the Bible says, you first have to believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him, of those that are utilizing the law of faith to activate what they want from him and through him. The woman with the issue of blood, she heard, her soul, she heard, and she said within herself, in her soul, that if I could touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to get my healing. She didn't do anything else. She believed, and then she activated the law of faith, and she went and got it, touched Jesus Christ, and he said, who touched me out of this whole group? And so then the law of faith is designed to extract power from God, from the person who put all of this together. And so that is why we are in this battle, because the enemy does not want you to understand who you are. Because if you and I understand who we are, then we will know that what Jesus said is true. And so our problem then is to get to know and believe what Jesus said. He says, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority is in heaven, right? In heaven and on the earth has been given to me. I am now the owner of all authority on the earth and in the heavens. And because of that, he says, therefore, because I am now the owner of the authority and the power, he says, then go into the world and make disciples of all nations, and you baptize them. You baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so as you begin to baptize them, they are now identified as one that is with Christ, having and living and maintaining that authority. So that is the plan of God the Father, was to now infiltrate the entire world with that type of Jesus all over in every nation, all of them that are walking in that authority in the heavens and in the earth, because he's giving it to us. He says, now, because I got it, then therefore you go. I'll now turn it over to you. You guys can go, and now you can have dominion over Lucifer. You can have dominion over anything that is on this earth, because he says all of it is given to me. Not some, not part, not whatever. So then I always tell people that Lucifer became my servant when I became born again. Because every demon now has to serve me, because I have the authority to command him to do things, and he must do that. I have the authority through Jesus Christ, not of my own. He would kick my butt on my own. But with the authority and the anointing of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, I can stand up against him, and he wouldn't be able to touch me. None of his boys will. And if you read the book of Ephesians, which we will later on as we move on, you'll see that Ephesians tells us, and Galatians tell us also, that, you know, we have authority over this boy. And have, the scripture says, let not sin have dominion over you. That's our responsibility. It's still our responsibility. Just like God came to Adam, it's your responsibility, bro. And so we have to stand up and take care of it. So what we're going to do next week, I wanted to give you some foundation so we could move on. James 2:19 says, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. So these guys knew that it was showtime. I'll give you a glimpse of what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. What we're going to do next podcast is go through how did Jesus deal with them. What happened when they had the encounters? Let's take a look at it. Let's take a bunch of look at those, and then take put the microscope to it, so that we can see that when Jesus began to encounter these evil spirits, which are Nephilims, how did they deal with him? What did they say? And all this type of stuff. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. When the unclean spirits had gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. This is, we saw from reading that they would roam all over, but they find none. Then it says, this unclean spirit, it, an entity, says, I will return to my house from whence I came. That house was that individual that Jesus Christ cast his demon out of, this unclean spirit. He says, after he's running around, he says, I'm going to go check it out and see if this person's life is maintaining like their walk. Because remember, if we live a certain way, it gives them permission to enter in and to do as they please. And we talked about even a Christian can do that, because he has certain areas within him that still needs to be saved and delivered from, if you will. So he says, I will return to my house, which I came. So he's going to look for this body. This body, he calls it his house. I will return to my house. So he then has, apparently from you, giving him permission, that's his house. And so you have the authority not to give him permission to do that. And we saw what Jesus Christ came to proclaim, liberty to the captive, all of those that are demon possessed and so forth, and opening up doors, you know, that are bound. So these are people that were in all kinds of messed up. They're bound to demons, bound to sicknesses and disease. They're in captivity from all the things. They're brokenhearted. They're a mess. And Jesus said, the scripture said, he's coming to bind us all up, because the kingdom of darkness is a mess. everybody in there is brokenhearted and messed up. So many of them that are in Christianity today, we are still messed up because we are still learning to live in the spirit, having this spirit man. When one becomes born again, you're having the spirit man now that is reconnected, has the capability of being reconnected to God the Father, to now have him make the decisions within the framework of you, your body. You have to now give the word of God, give the information of the word of God to the soul. Remember, the woman with the issue of blood, she heard a preaching sermon about God healing. And so that word of God came into her soul. And she said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will get what I want. And so she made this declaration based on her faith from hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So now you and I, our responsibility is to bring this word of God, because it has to now penetrate the programming of the devil, because we've been listening to his word for many years. And so it has to enter into our soul. And once it enters into our soul, it becomes a reality. That is why we have to listen and listen and listen until we begin to hear it. Because Jesus said, those who have ears, let them hear. Let your soul have to be a part of it. And when he hears it, that means that he will believe it. And when he believes it, he then will unite with the spirit of the man. And they together will make a decision, and the body of the man will come in line, because they have taken their position of authority, and the body has to come in as a servant. But when we miss, the Bible tells us, if we allow ourselves to be led by the lust of the flesh, the body, we will do certain things, fornication, all those things. So we are seeing that when one becomes connected, the goal of the Christian is to bring the word of God to convince the soul who they are and what they have and what they can get. And as they do that, and he becomes aware of it, and you begin to listen to over and over and over again, meditate on it, he will get it. And then once he gets it, it is a reality, because he will now partner with the spirit of the man, and you will bear fruit. So that's what goes on. And so the enemy doesn't want you to know that you have authority over him. And because he's going to try and pretend that he's bad, and he is not. But little old you, being born again, have more authority than him in Jesus Christ. Don't let him scare you. Don't believe anything that he says. And, you know, because he has truly become a servant to you. The Bible says that if you catch a thief stealing, you can have that thief pay you back, restore what was stolen from you. You have authority over him. Don't be afraid. You just have to, in Jesus Christ, you have it. He just goes around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Like he looks like one of them, and he's all over the place doing kind of stuff. But if you know who you are, you're good, man. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. How do you resist him? By the word. Keep focusing on God's word, and he will flee. Now, his running away from you is based on you being in the word of God. Do you understand? He has no power. Look at it. Look at this scripture. James chapter 4, verses 5. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, meaning that you submit your spirit and your soul and your body to God. And you do that by inviting the word of God in your life. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Resist, because how are you going to resist him? Is his thoughts that he will come. Did God say to you not to touch this? He's going to come with these words to activate your program of your thoughts. And then you will be able, because you have been equipped, to say, no, the word of God says that this is. And look at the power that he has after you keep going. And he will flee from you. That's how he is. That's all he got. You have the authority. And so what we're going to do next week podcast is go in to how Jesus Christ handled these spirits? How did he deal with the Nephilim spirits, the conversations they had with him, the conversation he had with them? And we'll see that he gave his disciples authority over them so that when they go out, that they were able to do that. And we'll also see in the word that there was someone else out there that was using God, Jesus's name, that the 12 disciples were someone different. And they said, you know, there's someone out there that is casting out demons in your name, doing the same thing. And Jesus says, if they're with us, you know, who's with us is, as they say, and who's against us and whatever that saying is. But when we recognize who we are, the enemy is fearful of us because he sees that we know who we are. And his whole goal is to make sure that you and I never have that knowledge, ever. Because if we do, we will change this world. And that's what Jesus Christ and God the Father intended, was that he would let loose millions of Jesus Christs on the planet to make it a shining place. Because he said, Jesus said, I got the power that is in heaven and in the earth. And because I get it, it says, therefore. And when you see that word, therefore, when I was in Bible school, they always say, what is it therefore? He says, therefore, go, because I have this stuff and I am now the owner of this. You go and make disciples of all nations. Our assignment that is of the church is to make disciples. It is not about membership. Anyone that is building membership has failed. Those who make disciples are doing their assignment. And I see churches that have 10,000 members and 20,000. That pastor has failed. Period. That's just me. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for following me with this. And thank you so much for growing the channel and sharing. I see it. And it has grown since I started this teaching. And I pray that you guys will continue to spread the word about us here at Blueprint of Faith as we continue this conversation as to who we are in Christ Jesus, the abilities that we have, who these guys are, the things, the topic that the church is afraid to talk about. Let's have this conversation so that we can change this world, man. It's time. We only have one last jubilee coming on. We have 50 years plus the months that have been used up already. So we don't have much time. And I invite you guys to come in. Those that are not saved that are listening to us, man, get saved, man. I'm telling you, you need to get saved because showtime is coming. The Bible says that it's going to get worse than when these Nephilims were here. I can't even picture what that looks like. I can't even picture what it was when the Nephilims were here. But I know from reading the data, they were drinking blood, chewing people, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. And it says it's going to be worse than that, man. I don't want any of you guys to be a part of that. Now your family, make sure that you guys get to know Jesus Christ. It's very easy. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved, you and your household. This is not a complicated thing. You just have to believe it. And once you believe it, the Bible tells us that you have translated. You have been plucked out of one kingdom and dropped into the other. And you are now giving this, even that very first brand new Christian right there, he or she has more power than Satan will ever have. Why? Because we have Jesus Christ. And because we have Jesus Christ, he has all power and all authority. So that's it, guys, right there. So thank you again for sharing. And thank you for those that are supporting us. I know we achieved a couple of things, and I see that we have a little area that you can support us now on YouTube. We just got to that level. So I want to thank you guys that are supporting us financially, and we're working on behind the scenes to come up with a bunch of things to help and our subscribers as we grow in subscribers and members. And so we're putting all of that together, and I want to welcome you guys to help walk with me so that we can grow the channel together and watch it explode as people come to hear the truth. My goal is to teach what the Word of God says. I'm not going to make it flowery. I'm not interested in it. I just don't care. The Word of God is truth. Everything else is facts. And facts change all the time, but the truth will never. ever change, but it has the capability of setting you free and making you free. So we want to be free. You see that Jesus Christ's ministry was about freedom, freedom from disease, freedom from demons, freedom from evil spirit, freedom from all kinds of stuff. He's interested in it, and so am I. And I welcome you at the family here. And, you know, I would love to have you guys take this journey with me as we walk together and grow the challenge. Thank you again so much. God bless you and your family, and I will continue to pray for you that He shows you who you are, man, because as you realize who you are, then there's nothing that can stop you, okay? So, you guys have any comments, just make your comments. Let's talk to each other, encourage each other, because it's tough out here, and so that we can maintain our sanity, if you will, okay? God bless you and your family, and we will talk again next week. We're going to continue about how Jesus handled these guys so that you and I have an opportunity to know how we should and could handle them. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.